two very familiar passage of Scripture. I'd like to read the first 14 verses. I'll tell you what, let's just read verses 6 through 8. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. What we read in Genesis 22, of course, is a particular event in the life of Abraham and Isaac. It's an event that has no precedent. There's nothing to parallel it in the Old Testament. It is one of those many portions of Scripture that can be preached from a variety of angles. The emphasis can be placed upon many different areas. For example, of course, it can be viewed as a type of God's provision of sacrifice instead of his people. You can view Isaac as a type of Christ and his willingness. It can be viewed in light of Abraham with uplifted knife about to be plunged into Isaac. Isaac being a picture of what the sinner deserves at the hand of God. The emphasis, of course, can be placed upon God's faithfulness, God's provision for his own. Emphasis can be placed that this is an example of obedience to God at all cost. It is certainly a lesson in faith. I believe there's a beautiful pattern here of worship. So there are many different ways that you can look at this passage of Scripture. Without a doubt, it is one of the most profound, one of the most instructive of all biblical accounts. And it is, no matter how you look at it, no matter where you place the emphasis, it is very, very relevant to our lives. No matter what one's spiritual state or condition, there is something in this passage for each of us, something that applies to each one of us. For time's sake, we didn't read the first 14 verses. We just read what we want to take our main thoughts from, and that's verses 6 through 8. And there we see Abraham and Isaac walking together. Verse 6, they went both of them together. Verse 8, they went both of them together. As they're walking together, Isaac asks Abraham, his father, a question. And we see Abraham's response. And that's the main point of the message, is Abraham's response. Verse 8, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went. So I believe they stopped at this point. Remember in verse 6, they were walking together. It appears that they've stopped. So they went, both of them, together. We want to notice is the assurance and conviction in those two words, God will. And then we want to notice in light of that, so they went both of them together. God will, so they went both of them together. Here we see the life and the walk of faith. Here we see an adventure in faith. And what we read here ought to be our life. God will. God will. So they went both of them together. I want to speak this morning on walking together confidently in God. God will. Our first point, we want to just look at the general, the background and circumstances of what we have here. And then our second point, we want to make application to ourselves. But by way of background, what we read here takes us back to Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, we find Abraham is 75 years old. And God appears to him, calls him to leave his homeland, and to go into a land that he knew not of. Verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. This was a call of separation. It was a call from a separation of the natural ties of life. Connected with this call was a promise concerning something that God would do for Abraham. Notice verse 2 and 3, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In verse 4 of Genesis 12, we read, and Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So Abraham leaves his homeland, leaves his father and his mother, based simply upon the word and the promise of God. That is his basis for leaving. Most, if you were to do that today, you would be considered a fool. But that's anything but foolish. You base your life upon the word and the promise of God. The faith of Abraham concerning this is referred to in Hebrews chapter 11. That is concerning him leaving his homeland. Notice Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went, but knowing that God would tell him, show him. So his life is being shaped. His life is being formed by his belief in God and his word. And we need to carefully examine, what is it that shapes and forms our life? Is it circumstances? Is it a person? Or is it God? In chapter 15 of Genesis, in verse 1, God again appeared to Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So God now appears to Abram, revealing to Abram that I am everything you need. Abraham, I am everything you need. It's a good lesson to learn. Reading on in verse 3, And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. God had promised Abraham a son. In Genesis chapter 16, after Abraham and Sarah have been in Canaan for 10 years, they, on the suggestion of Sarah, take matters into their own hands with disastrous results involving Hagar, the birth of Ishmael. The years passed, and Abraham and Sarah still have no children. And in Genesis 17, God appeared unto Abraham, saying, I am the Almighty God. At this time, Abraham was 99 years old. God promised that he and Sarah, in the next year, would have a son. And they were to name him Isaac. Notice in Genesis 17, in verse 19, And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him. So God's promise is linked. God's promise is for Isaac to be born. And God's promise is linked to Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So Isaac would have children, and they would have children. In Genesis 21, verses 2 and 3, Abraham is now 100 years old. Sarah is now 90. 25 years have passed since Genesis 12 in verse 1, where Abraham was 75 years old and Sarah 65. But in Genesis 21, verse 2 and 3, for Sarah conceived, 90 years old, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, 100 years old, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So they now have an heir. There is now an offspring. There is now the next generation. After 25 years of waiting, for the promise to be filled, all the joy that filled their hearts when Isaac was born. And oh, how they loved Isaac. Chapter 21 closes with, "And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days." We don't know how many. There's a lot of different ideas. We're not going to go into that. But in Genesis 22 and verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things," referring directly back to chapter 21. Now, we do not know, coming to Genesis 22, because we don't know how many days there are in those words in verse 34 of chapter 21. So we don't know for sure how old Isaac now is when we come to this event in Genesis 22. But I do know this. He was not just a little boy. He was strong enough to carry wood up a mountain. We know that from Genesis 22. But think about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham could look at his son Isaac and think and say, "This is the son of God's promise. This is the son of God's love." He could look at Isaac and he could think, "The promises of God are being fulfilled right before my eyes. Because the promises are all bound up in Isaac." Coming to Genesis 22, Abraham, who had faced many trials in his life, is now faced with the biggest trial of his life. In fact, it is one of the greatest trials that any child of God has ever had to face. We read in verse 1 that God did tempt or test Abraham. From verse 2, we see that Abraham was bidden to take his son and told explicitly to offer him up for a burnt offering. The Lord left no room for dialogue. None. Read verse 2. There's no room for dialogue. It is a direct and explicit command. In this command, notice in verse 2, there are four statements increasing in intensity concerning Isaac. Notice, "Thy son." Take now thy son. That's one statement. Increasing in intensity, "thine only son." Thy son, thine only son. The third thing, even again increasing in intensity, "Isaac, thy son." Thine only son, Isaac. And then it ends with, "whom thou lovest." Whom thou lovest. Perhaps there's no record of it, but I can't imagine it being otherwise. Perhaps thoughts raced through Abraham's mind. He didn't get stuck on any of these. That we know. But perhaps thoughts raced through his mind. This is the son you promised me. I have waited for him for 25 years. And now you command me to offer him up as a burnt offering. What will become of the great nation that you promised through Isaac? These are thoughts that perhaps raced through his mind. Because this is a very, very strange command from God. Take thy son and offer him up for a burnt offering. I don't care how you look at it, that is a very strange command from the Lord. Because it appears that what God is now telling Abraham is diametrically opposed to what God has promised Abraham. But it only appears that way. And that's always the case. Again, you can read verse 2. But this was a very startling command from God. Abraham, in his wildest imagination, would have never, ever expected such a demand from God. This was the unexpected. And it comes directly from God. Abraham knew that it was God. When all hope was gone, who had miraculously and graciously and lovingly gave him and Sarah Isaac. And Abraham knew that Isaac was God's promise for his future. And Abraham knew that all the promises to him were linked to Isaac. And now that same God is commanding Abraham to slay Isaac and offer him in sacrifice to the Lord. This is something that would go against every fiber of Abraham's being. It is an incomprehensible command from God. There is no way that Abraham understood why. He understood the command. The command's very plain. But there is no way that Abraham understood why. Why? It's inconceivable that God would ask this to the human mind. It is something that is absolutely shocking. So there has been quite a turn of events in circumstances in Abraham's life. And I guarantee you that Abraham never planned for this. There's no way you can. Though I believe that Abraham's life and the things that we've read was shaping him for this. But Abraham never planned for this. Yet in verse 3, we read that Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave or chopped the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. There is no record of hesitation. There is no record of arguing with God. There is no record of trying to figure it out. You can't figure this out. There is no record of murmuring with God. There is no record of Abraham trying to escape what God was telling him. What there is record of is simply this. Abraham, that morning, got up and stepped out with God. That's the record. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. That morning, Abraham got up, got the mule ready for the journey. Imagine what's going through his mind. Goes out and chops the wood that would be used in the offering. Again, imagine what's going through his mind. Gathers two of his servants and gathers Isaac. And then off he goes, four of them all total, to the place that God would tell him of. So the four of them, Abraham, Isaac, and his two servants, they travel for 3 days. Imagine what those 3 days were like. I believe in those 3 days, Abraham was getting closer and closer and closer to God. In verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And how did Abraham know? Because God said, Abraham, there's the place. There's the place. Verse 5, Abraham says to his servants, please stay here while Isaac and I go and worship. In the next scene, in verse 6, we see them walking together. What a picture. What a picture. Abraham and Isaac walking together up that mountain. While they're walking, Abraham is persuaded. He's absolutely convinced God will. God will. We're told that Isaac is carrying the wood. Imagine Abraham looking at Isaac, his son, as he carries that wood. This was not an easy journey up that mountain. But Abraham is persuaded, God will. God will. God will provide himself a lamb. He looks over and he sees Isaac carrying that wood. And he says to himself, God will. God will. God will provide himself a lamb. I know he will. It ought to be our life. In verse 7, as they're walking together, Isaac asks a question. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? That's almost a heart-stopping question. But Abraham offered a very immediate, clear, and confident response to Isaac's question. He said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. All the faith the assurance and the conviction of those words. God will. God will. Abraham knew, and Abraham had personally experienced the person of God. And based upon what he knew, he could say with full conviction, Isaac, God will. And I believe Isaac is old enough to run away at this point. And I believe, considering the age of Abraham, that Isaac was quite able to outrun dad. So Isaac, as soon as he heard that answer, could have taken off. But he didn't. And the reason he didn't was because he was content with the answer. God will. He did not ask, well, Dad, how's he going to do that? And Dad, how? When's he going to do that? But we simply read, and I like that little word, so. God, Abraham provides the answer. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So, based upon that, they went, both of them, together. They are fully embracing the faithfulness, the ability, and the love of God. They get to the top of the mountain. And perhaps they look around, but there is no lamb. But they still believe. And they are absolutely persuaded, God will. God will. Abraham built an altar. But there was still no lamb. But they still firmly believe, God will. God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham laid the wood in order upon the altar. Still, there is no lamb. But they still believe and are absolutely persuaded God will provide himself with a lamb. Abraham binds his son Isaac upon the altar. But there's still no lamb. They still believe and are firmly persuaded God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham takes the knife in hand. Still no lamb. But still believing God will provide himself with a lamb. Abraham raises the knife about to plunge it through his son. And suddenly, there's a voice from heaven, the very voice of God. Abraham. Abraham. And Abraham responded, here am I. God said in verse 12, lay not thine hand upon the lad. And we read in verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. God has provided in his own time and in his own way. And all the reverence and the joy and the gratitude that flooded the souls of Abraham and Isaac I don't know who was happier, Abraham and Isaac. But what a time. The Bible doesn't tell us, but you can only imagine what a time they had. What a time they had. They walked knowing and believing God will. And Abraham saw God's provision. And Abraham went and took the ram. He not only saw and took of God's provision, he benefited from God's provision by using it for what God would have him use it for, that is an offering, and offered him the God-provided ram up for a burnt offering. And Abraham and Isaac enjoyed God's provision, offered up him the God-provided lamb in the stead of his son, and all the joy that filled their souls. They were enjoying God. You want to know how to enjoy God? You just keep pressing on, knowing this: God will, God will, God will, God will. And you're going to get to a point where you're just going to enjoy the Lord. Walk through this life knowing and believing God will. So we want to make some application to ourselves. Again, verse 8, the two statements: God will, and then the picture. So they went, both of them, together. The scene of our text is one of difficulty. Great difficulty, great trial. It was a time that must have been heart-rending. No doubt it was a very mystifying time. No way any human being can explain why God would command such a thing. Keep in mind, you and I are living on this side of the story. Abraham was living the story. Quite a difference. Quite a difference. It was a time that was quite unexpected. We've all had unexpected times, and there'll be plenty more. It was a time that was absolutely incomprehensible to the human mind. And there will be those too. In verse 6, Abraham and Isaac, they went, both of them, together. And in this extremely difficult time, in verse 7, Isaac asked that question: where is the lamb for the burnt offering? In verse 8, Abraham answers. And notice the first word of his answer: God. God. That's the first part of his answer. His answer begins with God. God is the answer. God is the answer for every impossibility of life. God is the answer. We must realize that. So Abraham begins with God. In our every care, in our every burden, in our every difficulty, in our every problem, in our every trial, in our every battle, and in our every struggle, God is, and He is what we need. And we need to face all the happenings of life with the faith and the assurance and the conviction: God will. God will. See Abraham and Isaac as they trek up that mountain, not knowing what would happen next, but knowing this: God will. God will. God will do just as He promised. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know this: God will. Our life, of course, is a journey. consist of all sorts of matters and occurrences and incidents and circumstances. It's a journey filled with the unexpected and the unplanned for. You know, just because we don't plan for something doesn't mean we can't be prepared for it. Abraham was really prepared for this. God had been preparing him for it. How we live our lives prepares us for the unexpected and the unplanned. Life is, our journey is made up of shocking things. And what a shock. Take thy son, thine only son, and kill him. That's a shock. It's made up of the incomprehensible. And our journey is through a world where God is ignored and God is rejected and God is hated and mocked. And our journey is through a place where we have a cruel and relentless enemy. And when we are faced with opposition, fierce opposition, this journey through a world that is overrun with wickedness, overrun with abomination, overrun with twisted and perverted philosophies. And everyone is affected to some degree by the influence of these philosophies. And everyone lives their life under the threat of these philosophies. Our life is a journey that goes through a world that is filled with temptations and filled with obstacles and filled with distress and hurts and sorrows. And where there's going to be times of defeat and there's ruins all around us and chaos and dangers and fears and uncertainties and tremendous needs. Our journey goes through a world that is basically a waste howling desert consisting of consuming furnaces. But just as Abraham and Isaac pressed up that mountain, we need to press on with assurance and conviction that God, the Almighty, the sovereign controller, the sovereign ruler, sustainer, the all-knowing one, the all-sufficient, the immutable, eternal one, the one who never leaves me, the one who never forsakes me, the one who never misleads me, the one who never forgets me, the one who is strong when we are weak, the one who can comfort us, shield us, provide for us, feed for us, and carry us. He will provide. God will. God will. God will. We need that conviction. And press on in life. Pressing on with the assurance and conviction that God, who is our mighty, loving, affectionate, wise, and unfailing friend, He will. God will. All others may forsake us. All others may disappoint us. But we have to hold on to this. God will provide. God will be faithful to His promises. Oh, hear those words. God will provide. God will provide. May those words sink into the depths of our hearts. God will. There's strength in those words. What was it that gave Abraham and Isaac, and I'm not talking about physical strength here, what was it that gave them the strength to walk up that mountain? It's because what they knew. God will. God will. And there will be times in our lives when we think, I can't do this. I can't go on. That's when you need to grab hold of God will. There's strength
In those words, there's courage. There's resolve. There's comfort. There's peace in those words. Oh, may they get a hold of us. May those words shape our lives. That we would not allow people, that we would not allow circumstances to shape our lives, but that this would shape our lives. God will. God will be faithful to me. God will do what He promised. That's what needs to shape our lives. That's what needs to determine the direction of our lives. Through this desert, know this, God will provide green pastures for His children. Through this parched land, God will provide still waters. And through all the perversions, God will provide right paths. God will. You might be standing in the midst of perversion and you might not be able to see the clear path, but hang on to this. God will provide a right path for me to walk in. You're never left without one. Never. People who say, I didn't have any other way to go, I had to. That's a lie. God will provide right paths. He has light. He has refreshment. He has comfort. He has mending. He has strength. He has rest. He has fulfillment. He has joy. All what we need is the firm persuasion and assurance that God will provide. God has everything I need. God has everything that I'll ever need. I must simply have the faith and assurance, no matter what the circumstances are, and no matter how it appears to go against everything that God has said. God will. God will. So wherever our life journey takes us, and whatever it involves, God has present, enabling, exhaustless, abounding, sufficient, exceeding abundant, helping, and manifold grace. And God will provide. Oh, for the absolute persuasion, the absolute assurance, God will provide. Abraham and Isaac believe that. God will. And every step of the way, where there was no lamb, it was as if they said, that doesn't bother us because we know God will. God will. In His time and in His way, God will. It is very dangerous to lose sight of that truth. Because when you lose sight of that truth, you take matters into your own hands. That's what happened to Abraham and Sarah with Hagar. They lost sight of the fact, God will. You don't have to take matters into your own hands. God will. Folks aren't being saved. We've got to do something to get them saved. No, you need to hang on. God will. God will. Hang on to that. Again, see the picture. Verse 6, they went both of them together. Isaac asked the question, Dad, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for burnt offering? And life is filled with questions. We all have questions. And Abraham encouraged him with, God will. And they both went on, believing and knowing that. Went both of them together up that mountain. What a picture. What a picture. Them walking together, knowing God will. We don't know how. We don't know when. But we know God will. I'll apply that. I realize time's getting away from us, but apply that truth to us individually. Pressing on. Knowing God will. You may find yourself in your own family, not a group of people. Everybody's discouraged. But you as an individual need to believe and have the assurance God will, and hang under that and press on. We need that individually. Husbands and wives, they went both of them together, knowing that God will. Oh, that every husband and wife would get up in the morning and face life, whatever it is, each one knowing, each one encouraging the other, honey, God will. God will provide. God will be faithful. God will. I've been blessed. It's not because of me. It's not because of Sharon. Coming June, we'll have 39 years. And that's pretty much our life. We're not always on the same page at the same time. But never, and it may happen tomorrow, but never has it happened where both of us at the same time had doubts that God will. One of the two always said, God will! God will provide! And all that husbands and wives would walk together through life. God will provide. Folks, there's a storm coming that you can't even imagine. And husbands and wives need to face that storm and walk through that storm saying, God will! God will! Children will disappoint us. Grandchildren will disappoint us. You need to hold hands and say, honey, God will! And press on. And then, of course, it applies to us as a church. As a church, as a body of Christ, here we are. In a world, the entire mood, the current, and the trend of the world is anti-Christ. There's one obstruction after another. There's one difficulty after another. But God's people need to stand together, walk together, knowing God will. What a way to live. What a way to live. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us some verse songs.